The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this first day of February 2023. 7 weeks till spring. Only 49 days. 7 weeks, right? And tonight, boy, we have, like always, we have a pretty big program. And so tonight, our producer, the man that's on the board, is Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor.
And way out in Missouri, we have none other than that distinguished parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Don't know how distinguished I was. I was recovering dead trees, branches, shoveling ice, breaking ice on sidewalks, but I'm here.
Well, in my book, that's what helps to distinguish you.
It's making character, right? Character building.
Absolutely. Speaking of character, I want to thank my good friend Aaron Baer from the Center for Christian Virtue. He let me know, remember Tom Emery?
Yes.
Joe, Tom Emery, It has been a while. It's been a real while. Well, Tom passed away. And I guess he passed away on Christmas Eve, and I didn't know. I just found out about it recently. And so I wanted to just say there's going to be a memorial service for him, and that's this coming Saturday. And that's going to be at Rock City Church at 4311 Anson Drive in Hilliard, Ohio. Again, that's Rock City Church at 4300 Anson Drive in Hilliard, Ohio, 43026. A visitation from 10 to 11. Memorial services starts at 11, and there will be a reception held at the church immediately afterwards. Remember, he was he was one of the old heroes of the faith there. And
a warrior for the Christ. He was a doer of the word, and he's gone home to be with his Lord.
Yeah, and remember, Citizens for Community Values was one of the causes that he headed up. And so, again, he was, they've gone. He went to his reward. He beat us home, Joe. And so,
I'm not pushing it. I mean, I'm going to be glad when I'm there. But in the meantime, I'm patiently waiting till the Lord calls me.
Yeah. It reminds me of that song Walter Brennan used to sing. Way up there, where the cotton's are growing and the corn's are high and the cotton's growing, whatever. That mule. Old what's his
old
name
Rivers
and me?
And I, yeah.
Old Rivers and I. Yeah, that was an interesting song. But anyhow, so that's what we got to look forward to. Days, it'll happen because everything's passing. I mean, do you realize only 49 more days till spring? It shows you even winters are going fast for us nowadays. You know, winters used to just creep along, but even that's happening. But anyhow, let's get into the scripture because we got a lot to cover tonight. And
if the foundations be destroyed, what's the righteous to do?
Well, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we start in verse 11. Why don't you read verses 11 through 14 and then stop?
All right. Wherefore, remember that ye being in past time Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
All right, so here we go back and we take a look at what he says here. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants and the promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Do you know that without God there is one word. That word in the Greek there, in the original, is atheos, atheos. That's where we get the word atheist.
Without God is atheist?
A-T-H-E-O-S is atheos, atheos, yeah. And so he goes on to say, but now in Christ, you who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's talking about the Gentiles now here.
Right. We're the aliens.
Right. Now, here's an interesting thing. Here's an interesting right here. For he is our peace. Now, do you know, here the Lord is referred to, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to here as our peace. But, you know, he's referred to as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. And then in Hebrews 13:20, he's the God of peace. And then Hebrews 7:2, he's the King of peace. And then if you go over to 1 Corinthians 14:33, he's the author of peace. And so it's kind of about peace. That's where we find our peace in Christ.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men is the kind of the motto of Christmas, right?
Yeah. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So that middle wall of partition, a term refers, Joe, to the wall separating the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the Herodian temple. You know, that's what they were showing you at this time. It was symbolizing the distinction placed between the Jew and the Gentile in one of the Mosaic, in that economy, the Mosaic economy at that time. And so, verse 15, read 15 through 22.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, so he says in verse 18, for through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. And that's interesting. Now that verse is an interesting verse because let's read it here. For through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. So what is present there?
Well, it's Jews and Gentiles, but through Jesus, we both have
it. No, here, listen very carefully, okay? For through him is who?
The Christ. Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
No, him is Christ, for through
Christ.
Him,
okay.
We both have access, now he's talking about Jews and Gentiles, access
right.
to one spirit, and unto the Father. So in that verse,
the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah, well, it's talking about the Trinity. It's referring to the Trinity. There's only a few verses in the Bible that have all three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, spoken of in one verse.
Oh, right. Okay, that's kind of where I was going when I said, well, Father, but I jumped ahead of you there. I was just through him, this whole verse is, through Jesus we have access by the Holy Ghost unto the Father. So, yeah, all three are there.
All right, then he says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and we are built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now we're going to be taking a look at this here because as we saw earlier as we started this out in Daniel 12:4, when he was talking about the book was sealed, and we said when we got to the end of this message we would see the completion of the unsealing of the book, in whom all the building, and that was the last of the apostles, when he said, and we'll get to that passage where the book was totally unsealed, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. So you had, this has several applications, okay? It's the holy temple, so it means that it surprises the church and our independence of bodies, huh?
Right, of both things. Each one of us is a holy temple because we house the living God, the Holy Spirit, but we are those lively stones built upon the cornerstone, which is Christ, and it says, through all the building fitly framed together, to a holy temple, his church. He's calling his whole church a temple.
Okay, so
individually we're temples, and in mass we're a giant temple then.
And if we go back to verse 17, and came and preached peace unto you who were far off and to them that were nigh. That means he was preaching the message, the good news of salvation, wasn't it? Okay.
Yes, to all mankind, both the Gentile and the Jew.
For through him, we go back to this verse again, both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. So he's talking about those that were being evangelized. So in that verse, he's referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all active. They're all active in both salvation and prayer, huh?
Yes.
We see that, okay.
Oh, in our lives, we pray to the Father through the Son, but we have the Holy Spirit as our guide in our down payment on eternal life. So everything really evolves around the eternity. Every time we say a prayer, we pray to God in the name of his Son, and we have the guide who guides us in our prayers, the Holy Spirit. So everything a Christian does involves all three aspects of the Trinity.
Absolutely. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to cut in a little early tonight because we have so much to get through, and that was quite a passage of Scripture, huh? And so
you could have a lot longer sermon on that one. I see a lot more that could be said, yes.
Well, we have a lot more that we're going to be doing by the end of this week here. In second, we're going to take it from there because tomorrow I'm going to take a look at the conclusion and the completion of that foundation, but it's going to take a little longer than we have time to do it tonight. So because of that, I'm going to switch over, and what we're going to do, did you know, Joe, that here, we've known that in India and Israel, or not India, but India and China, that you had gender selection that, in fact, 45, just in from 1970 to 2017, there were, now this is the ones they were able to count. This is the ones, now this wasn't in all the countries. This is just in on those 45 million more men were born than girls. 45 million. And in China, today in India, today in China, you have 35 million more single men than you have single women in China. Guys will fight over there to the death for a wife. Now, Joe.
And to add to that, they have one of the largest groups of women in the, what they call the sex profession. They actually, you know, it's a job over there because there are so many men. They have all these women that are in the sex trade, ordered and controlled by the government, because men will need a woman, and if they have to do it that way, that's what they'll take.
Well, do you know one of those countries that has gender selection and nobody knows about it, but we're gonna expose it tonight? It's right here, the good old United States.
Yes, and that's the third one that we know of, right?
Now, right, in Canada and in England, United Kingdom, in fact, in a whole lot of countries, they will not let you know the sex of the child in the womb, okay? They won't reveal the embryo sex in what they call vitro fertilization. They won't let you know that sex until the baby's born, okay? But here, the United States, actually in Italy and Mexico, people are actually coming to the United States to have a sex selection to find out if they've got a girl or a boy, and if they've got a girl, they'll kill it. And they do the same thing in Italy and Mexico to get what they call gender select abortions. And it's right here in America.
A male child to carry on the family name or to help bring in income.
Now, Republicans have been trying for years to pass legislation. It's called the PRENDA Act, or Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act. They've tried to get this thing passed for years, and they've never been able to get it through both houses. But let's expose this. So, Kyle, go ahead and bring that clip up.
Over 100 million girls who would be alive today have been killed for no other reason than the fact that they were girls. This practice is called gendercide, and experts say that it is happening in abortion clinics in America today. In April 2012, the nation's biggest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, attempted to address growing concern that it may be facilitating gendercide and providing sex-selective abortions by stating, "Gender bias is contrary to everything our organization works for. Planned Parenthood condemns sex selection motivated by gender bias." The very same month, however, Live Action uncovered an entirely different story in Planned Parenthood clinics across the country. In the footage you are about to see, Live Action went undercover at Planned Parenthood in New York City. When confronted with a blatant request for a sex-selective abortion, will Planned Parenthood condemn, condone, or facilitate the discriminatory killing of a baby girl?
Hi, are you Randy?
I am.
We decided, you know, we've had a daughter, we'd really like to have a son, and but I found out I was pregnant. It looks like it's going to be a girl, another girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're like, okay, here we are again. You know, it's not what we're looking for right now.
Mm-hmm.
You do abortions up to how long?
24 weeks.
24.
Uh-huh.
24.
Uh-huh.
Do you know at what stage generally they tell on an ultrasound?
At what point in pregnancy you can tell the sex of the,
exactly.
the pregnancy? You know, it depends on what type of testing prenatal testing you're doing. So if you were to have what's called a CVS test, which is, do you know what that is?
No.
So CVS test is done between 11 and 13 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
And it basically tests, you know, it's a genetic test that's done, but it's just done earlier in your pregnancy, and amnios is done around 16 weeks.
Later.
This is between 11 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And either of those tests can
confirm,
tell you what the sex of the pregnancy is.
Okay.
By sonogram, from what I understand, it's more between 18 to 20 weeks
that
you can tell the sex of, certainly by 20, but maybe, you know, somewhere around 18 is when on a sonogram you can tell the sex of the pregnancy.
Now, are the previous two tests that you mentioned, are those definitive? Like,
yeah.
There's no guesswork there?
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that it might be, because I could even get the CVS test done now.
Yeah.
I'm at the stage where I wouldn't have to wait.
It's between 11 and 13 weeks. And so it is a test that you could do now.
So I could do that before scheduling even the abortion, just in case it's a boy, and that would be awful. That would be really hard.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Absolutely. You would want to, obviously, because you haven't seen anybody yet.
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to make an appointment with someone as soon as possible.
If there is somebody that you guys would recommend
mm-hmm.
that I could go to just to get the test mm-hmm. so that we know.
Right.
Because then if we find out that it is a girl, then we could terminate earlier rather than having to wait.
Yeah.
And are there fewer complications that way?
Yeah. So, you know, an abortion up to 24 weeks is considered a safe procedure.
Uh-huh.
The biggest difference is that after 16 weeks, the mm-hmm. procedure becomes a 2-day procedure rather than a procedure that's done just on one day.
Okay.
So it's not that it's unsafe or that, you know, there's a lot more risk involved. It's just there's more steps involved
mm-hmm.
and it's just a little more complicated.
Right.
You know, the further along you are in your pregnancy.
Yeah, and it sounds like if we do this test, we can avoid waiting longer.
Yeah. And so if you, you know, decide that even if you find out that it's a girl and you decide that what you would prefer is
mm-hmm.
to terminate the pregnancy, then that's just your decision. I can tell you that, you know, here at Planned Parenthood, we believe that it's not up to us to decide what is a good or bad reason for
mm-hmm.
somebody to decide to terminate a pregnancy. If you're already 12 weeks, by
mm-hmm.
the time you get an appointment to see a doctor first, you have to have an initial consultation,
okay.
an initial appointment, and then you'd have to schedule the CVS test.
Yes.
I think it does take then at least a week to get the results.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're probably talking about scheduling for the 14th week of pregnancy? And you guys do that here. Maybe I should go ahead. Can I schedule that appointment so that I have that on the books? Because
sure.
we're pretty sure it is a girl again,
okay.
80 to 90% sure. And then, you know, once we get that confirmation, I'll just plan on keeping it. And I'll call you guys if for some reason we find out it's a boy.
That's fine. All right. So you're scheduled for Friday the 27th at 8:30 in the morning.
Hopefully we will have to cancel it if we find out it's a boy. But if not, I will be here on the 27th.
Okay.
There you go. And, you know, Joe, it's an interesting thing. Lawrence Selling, He has an article he wrote, Slowly Boiled Frogs, Have Americans Lost Their Capacity for Rage? And I'm gonna read this right after we go to the break here. So take us to that quick break, and we'll be right back.
Now here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities, we got gangs taking over our streets, we keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Let's get a grip on immigration. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we're in trouble in this country. Joe Obama, Biden, you've got to say one thing. He has been one of the best presidents the Chinese Communist Party has ever had. He has done his job. He's kept the gates open. He's had the help. And also the help of many rhino Republicans who didn't have the guts and the courage to do what they should have done. But he's kept the gates open. And he's brought in many terrorists brought into this country, ready to burn the country down when given the command. He's brought in many, many sex offenders, fellow pedophiles, and also he's working hand-in-hand with his fellow drug cartels, the Mexican drug cartels, working hand-in-hand, getting very wealthy along with the Biden crime family. And so, but Joe, you know what we just heard here? Planned Parenthood is one of the most wicked, evil, ungodly organizations. It's right from the pit of hell, right from hell. Joe, it's killed more human beings than any army in the world. And when they talk about the language of illusion, you know I'm a stickler on words. Words have meaning, don't they, Joe?
They sure do.
And so how don't I always yell at you when you call people like Hillary a lady?
I make a mistake once in a great while.
Yeah, but you see, when they use people that say that they terminating the pregnancy, you know, if when they say that around me, I make them feel really bad, because it's killing a baby. It's killing a baby. They make it sound like you're removing a wart or something, okay?
That clip was like. That girl was talking like it was going to be some cosmetic surgery or something, and, you know, it was just so matter-of-fact, and it was sickening. And you said something before the break. Where's the anger? I've been wondering that for years. I get so angry when I see what they're doing to the children, the grandchildren. As an older man, I look out there and think, what are they doing to these children of God? Where is the anger? I don't even hear it from a lot of our listeners. I've asked, aren't you mad at this? Aren't you angry? Doesn't it make you want to fight or get out and, you know, do something? And I'm flabbergasted that people just take it so calmly, without anger, without getting excited.
Well, Joe, have you ever had to do some work out there and work in a situation where there was mud, where there's a lot of mud, especially if you had a vehicle or something that got stuck and you were trying to...
Oh, sure. You got here on the farm many times.
Well, at first, when you get the mud on you, the first thing you want to do is wipe it off. But after a while, you keep getting more and more mud on you, more and more mud on you. And pretty soon you quit trying to clean it off. You just go ahead and keep working with the mud on you. And that's what's happening. They keep dumping all of this on the American people to where they no longer have righteous indignation. They're used to it. Now, we're not used to it, because I'm just as anti-communist, anti-liberal as I've ever been, because it's totally anti-Christ. But a lot of people, you see, they don't have any anger. And when I'm around and when they're joking about killing babies, that one, I tell them, you know what? I would really have to reduce my morals and my standards to be like that. When you tell me, when you use this word pro-choice, remember how many people? Let me ask you a question. Look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Do you really believe that the baby chooses to have his little heart ripped out while he's alive or his brain sucked out? And they'll say, well, no, of course not. Well, then I'll say, why did you call it pro-choice? Why are you lying? And it's like, gee, I am lying, aren't I? You know, they've been so indoctrinated by the fake, the evil, the wicked, the ungodly news media with what is put out there by Planned Parenthood. I got to tell you, Joe, I can't see how any of those people that work for Planned Parenthood, I can't see how any of them can escape that burning lake of fire.
Well, without a real repentance and a real change of heart, they're not.
Well, you know, and again, I'm just as angry as I ever was. And, in fact, here's an article. What's happening in New Mexico? This tells you all you need to know. Satanic Temple announces launch of clinic to provide religious abortions in New Mexico. The Satanic Temple joined Democrats in their battle against the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe v. Wade. Here he goes on to say the Satanic Temple released a statement following the ruling on their plans to fight in court for the right to religious abortion. The Satanists believe abortion is a religious sacrament. On Wednesday, the Satanic Temple announced they will open a religious medical service clinic in New Mexico. The clinic will provide free religious medication abortion care to women in the state. You know what, Joe? We need to do this. I mean, we need to pray in a precatory prayer against that and have the people out there join us. Have the people. Now, you know, if we just say, when it comes to this, Lord, when it comes to opening this bloody clinic like Planned Parenthood, like in all of these, now, Lord, you have told us the wages of sin is death. You've told us very clearly the entire purpose of divine human government is to preserve your image. And so, Lord, we are going to ask that your perfect will be done, that these women that come to kill their babies there, that they get what you said, death. You see, that's what they deserve. That's what God has said. That's what they deserve. Joe, if the first 10 to come in there to kill their babies end up dying, how many more do you think will come?
Many, many more.
Now, if the first 10 women that go in there to kill their babies, if the women die, how many more do you think will come?
Very few, once the word gets out.
So they're much more eager to kill their child than their own nasty hides on.
Yeah. Well, yes, everybody, that self-preservation, and especially even with this, what the Satanic Temple, they're also setting up a new telehealth service for use in their religious abortion ritual. Of course, they said it's all verbal. It's all verbal except for the part where you kill the baby, and that's the nonverbal part.
So let's pray, and let's ask the people out there, Father, to join with us in an imprecatory prayer, because
one more thing. They're calling it the Samuel Alito Moms Abortion Clinic, referencing, of course, the Supreme Court Justice Alito, and he's the one who authored the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, the majority opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade. So they are mocking him, his mother, and makes it even more sickening and repulsive.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, and let's ask all the folks out there, it's very, very important. Listen, you've got to stand up. You've gotten used to this. Don't ever this again. When you get to the point where you're like the frog in the boiling water, it doesn't matter. You become so indoctrinated, so desensitized, you no longer feel. You no longer really. You've got no righteous indignation left anymore. Then you're in very sad shape. If you don't have anger, if you don't have righteous anger, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. You see, if you're not angry at this evil and wickedness, then you're sinning. If you're not angry, that's what that means. And so I want you all to join with me out here, wherever you're at, across this country here. And let's pray that the Lord gives these people, since they've denied him, since they've denied him the Satanic Temple, they boast about their hatred for God. Let's just pray that the Lord gives them exactly what they're asking, death. All of those, okay, so that they cannot kill innocent children. That every one of them involved in that, in their mockery. See, God's not mocked. And so let's pray to that extent. And join with me in that. Heavenly Father, Lord God, This thing that they want to open, this wicked, evil clinic to sacrifice their children and offer them up to Satan, their God, the God of the Democratic Party. Satan has become the God of the Democratic Party now, so we're living in those days that you told us about where the evil is so great, where we have a political party in here that have become Satanist in this country. So I pray, Father God, you give them what they want. You've told us in your words that those that hate you love death. Those that hate you love death. And so, Lord, give those that are running this clinic, all of those, what they want, give them that death. Lord, let there be a plague. Let them wipe it out, Father God, so no innocent children would be murdered, Father. They've refused to repent. And Lord, I know right now out there there's prissy preachers that are saying, That Pastor Uni, he's a bad man. He shouldn't be praying that way. No. Lord God, we're just asking you right now to do. To do. You've said that you hate iniquity and you hate all of those that love violence. And so, Lord, for the sake of the innocent children, Lord, remove the wicked. Just remove them. And Lord, I would ask the same thing in all of Planned Predators, all of Planned Parenthood, Lord, that you would just remove those wicked, evil people. And I know that you've said that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I know you do things in your time, but I know also that you are moving, and a lot of us can't see it and what you're doing, but we know that you're moving continuously. And so, Lord, again, we would ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty.
You know, to go along with that, you've for years told people how Karl Marx was a Satanist. And doing some reading on Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto, I wonder how many of our listeners out there just remember how many millions have been killed by Marxist leaders like Stalin and Mao, Pot Paul. And have they...
You mean the useless idiots?
Yeah. And have they studied this man, Karl Marx? He was an indebted man. He was unemployed. He couldn't support his own family. He called blacks idiots. Oh, by the way, the people that run BLM are Marxists. They study, they profess, they said they are educated Marxists, and yet Karl Marx called them idiots. But this is what Marx thought of these people, and yet BLM, it was organized and headed by Marxists. And then some of the stuff he said behind closed doors, he talked about these, the people that were out there, the revolutionaries fighting for the cause. But if you read some of his writings, he called them stupid boys, rogues, asses, stating the need to subdue, not protect those who are weak and feeble, quote, classes and races that are too weak to dominate the new conditions of existence will be defeated. And in his writing, there was no compassion when he said that the communists will, quote, forcibly overthrow all existing social conditions. They're going to forcibly overthrow, and all those that are too weak to dominate will be defeated, destroyed. And in the Communist Manifesto, it said these people will be robbed of their rights. The people will become a new slave class ruled by the terror of their new Marxist state masters. It's amazing. Nobody teaches real history. Nobody dwells in and reads the words of Karl Marx and brings them out in these days. And we've taught you, you preach so often, you know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And here the knowledge is out there about the enemy, about Marx, about communism. How many times have you heard anybody on a major TV show, even, you know, Fox News, Tucker, anybody, read this stuff that Marx himself wrote?
Well, we have here many, many times. We have written.
I'm talking about the media that, you know, the rest of the world is hearing.
But, you know, the Bible actually speaks about communism before it was called communism, because it was Satanism.
Right.
And you find that it's very prevalent in Proverbs chapter 1, where he refers to, if they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood and let us look privately for the innocent without cause. And if you go on where he talks about, let us all have one verse. This is communism. But then he talks about those people, the proletariat that you were referring to. In other words, the necessary idiots, he referred to them as necessary idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttered these words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Well, that's exactly what we have You know, I had to laugh one day. I was listening to these group of psychiatrists. These women were having one of their discussions. And I think it was C-SPAN. But anyhow, they were quoting Sigmund Freud. And they were talking about Freud like he was some kind of a hero.
Yeah.
And Sigmund Freud, you know, he said that it went in this order, that white men were superior, and after intellectually, and then after that, black men, you know, or Hispanic, whatever, and then white women, and then after that, black women, and then after that, apes, and, you know, this is what Freud taught, and he, in other words, he didn't teach equality in their humanity, and no. these dingbat women, you know, where are these women now? Where are these dingbat women? Where are all these little baby girls? You see, listen to this. Here's something they probably don't know, because one, they don't know what a woman is, but we know what they are, right? But
right.
See, if you let these little girls live, Joe, if you let them live, someday they'll become a woman. Did you know? Now,
yeah, where are the feminists? Where aren't they yelling and screaming over this? You know, what do you mean getting rid of all the baby girls? I would think a feminist would be the most enraged person out there over sex selection and killing off all the girls.
Yeah, when it's the hypocrisy that's astonishing. It's just absolutely unbelievable, the hypocrisy.
It's overwhelming. Yeah, like yeah. One more quote in the Communist Manifesto. Here, folks, I want you all to hear this. Quote, there are eternal truths, such as freedom, justice, that are common to all states of society. But communism abolishes all eternal truths, eternal because they're God's truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. In other words, in a pure communist state, there is no morality except that which the people that run the state tell you there is.
And not only that,
but that's terrifying. You look at Hitler, what his idea of morality, right?
Well, what did Marx teach? He taught eternal revolution. Whatever government is in power, even if it's a communist government, they should try to overthrow it. There needs to be a continuous revolution going on. In other words, it's, you know, who is the author of confusion?
The devil.
Right. It's
not our God.
Well, Marx taught continuous anarchy. And, of course, see, this is what's literally being taught in our public school system today. This is what...
Public school system, yeah.
Public, right. The woke. Did you know, Joe, that over 1.5 million people... have not returned their kids back once they took them out of public schools due to the COVID thing.
Yeah, and once they found out what was really going on, you mean?
Yeah. They pulled their kids out of 1.5 million. And so I think...
I just wish it were double that or triple that. But
I really believe it is. Homeschooling is growing, because now that they know what they're teaching, now that they know what the critical race theory is, and... You know, these people that teach the critical race theory, they should be charged, okay? They really need to be charged with child molesting, because it's mental molesting.
Well, here's one of the people that should really be charged. Gavin Newsom, a lot of people don't know this, but his wife is very much involved in gender justice. In fact, she produces films. And she has raked in millions of dollars from the public school system, showing her documentaries dedicated to intersectional gender justice, according to the watchdog group Open the Books. Jennifer Newsom, her nonprofit group called the Representation Project, charged California's public school system between $50 and $600 to stream the documentaries on gender justice to the students. Since 2012, Newsom has earned about $1.5 million in film licenses and nearly $1.7 million in sales from the documentaries. And now, up to today, about 2.6 million students in 5,000 schools across 50 states are watching these documentaries, which Newsom wrote and directed. And Newsom's group charged schools an average of $270 to stream the films. So you look at this stuff, there's a lot more about the name of the films and stuff, but it's all this joke stuff, gender justice and hate and, you know, CRT and race and all this. Even one of the fathers saw one of her films that his 12-year-old, The Mask You Live In, said, hey, the film has nude images of females in lurid positions, you know, and he was upset. This guy was a school superintendent. He didn't realize how horrible the films were, so they had naked women posing in what he called lurid, you know, poses, and wished he'd never paid for the films and showed them because his own kid was watching, his own child was watching. So this is what's going on in America, and I hope we do a story like this. People actually get mad. I hope people in California, all of you out in California, you get mad. This is what your governor's wife is doing. She's indoctrinating and destroying the innocence of your children. She's destroying their morality, harming them. This is abuse, I think. You mentioned that this part of the child abuse. And it's time America, the Christians, got mad and said, in the name of Christ, stop this insanity.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is insanity, but it's the days, again, that we're living in. The Jesus called it the days of sorrow, times of sorrow,
yeah.
Or the evil day. And so we're there. This tells you that every day is where one day closer to his return. And, well, I'm going to tell you, these fools at the World Economic, you know, a session where they were saying how for them, there is no God, there is no God who lives above the clouds, and there is no Jesus going to come back. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they are in for an extremely rude awakening. It's just unbelievable how stupid people can get, how all around them, all of nature screams out, all of nature bears witness to a God of creation, and these people are fools. They're looking around and all of this, and it's not dawning on them. It will dawn on them, I think, when it's too late. And you know, one of the other things, Joe, the technology, these so-called smartphones, the young people now are using these. They shouldn't be able to even have one until they're 18, in my opinion. They shouldn't, you know, at least 18, because of these young girls are sending nude pictures of themselves all over the place now. Not just the young girls.
The boys are doing it too. They're sending the weird photos like that to the girls of private things.
Okay. And so, all right, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, Joe, we're going to take a look at what is taking place. Justice may take place when it comes to this, the COVID, the shot. Listen to this. You'll want to pay attention right after this. Be right back with more to come.
Fight the fight. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.